In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Almighty God, to whom all hearts are open, all desires known, and from whom no secrets are hid, cleanse the thoughts of our hearts by the inspiration of your Holy Spirit, that we may perfectly love you and worthily magnify your holy name through Jesus Christ our Lord. Let us confess our sin in the presence of God and of one another. Most merciful God,
we confess that we are against the sin and cannot free ourselves. We have sinned against you and God very deeply by what we have done and by what we have undone. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors and ourselves. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us. Forgive us, forgive us, forgive us.
In the mercy of Almighty God, Jesus Christ was given to die for us, and for his sake, God forgives us all our sins. As a called and ordained minister of the Church of Christ, by his authority, I therefore declare to you the entire forgiveness of all your sins, in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all.
Lord,
Let us pray. Holy God, you confound the world's wisdom in giving your kingdom to the lowly and the pure in heart. Give us such a hunger and thirst for justice and perseverance in striving for peace that in our words and deeds the world may see the life of your Son.
Reading from Micah. Hear what the Lord says. Rise, plead your case before the mountains, and let the hills hear your voice. Hear, you mountains, the controversy of the Lord, and you enduring foundations of the earth. For the Lord has a controversy with his people, and he will contend with Israel. O my slavery, and I sent you before Moses, Aaron, and Miriam. O my people, remember now what King Balak of Moab devised, what Balaam son of Beor answered him, and what happened to Shittim and Gilgal, that you may know the saving acts of the Lord. With what shall I come before the Lord and bow myself before God on high? Shall I come before him with burnt offerings, with calves a year old? Will the Lord be pleased with the thousands of rams, with 10,000s of rivers of oil? Shall I give my firstborn for my transgression, the fruit of my body for the sin of my soul? He has told you, O mortal, what is good, and what does the Lord require of you but to do justice and to love kindness and to walk humbly with your God? The word of the Lord. We will read the psalm responsibly. Please read the bold print. They do not slander with the tongue. They do no evil to their friends. They do not cast discredit upon a neighbor.
And
They do not give their money in hope of gain, nor do they take bribes against the innocent. Those who do these things shall never be overthrown. A reading from 1 Corinthians. The message about the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing, but to us who are being saved, it is the power of God. For it is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise, and the discernment of the discerning I will thwart. Who is the one who is wise? Where is the scribe? Where is the debater of this age? Has not God made foolish the wisdom of the world? For since, in the wisdom of God, the world did not know God through wisdom, God decided, through the foolishness of our proclamation, to save those who believe. For Jews demand signs and Greeks desire wisdom. But we proclaim Christ crucified, a stumbling block to the Jews and the foolishness to Gentiles. But to those who are called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ the power of God and the wisdom of God. For God's foolishness is wiser than human wisdom, and God's weakness is stronger than human strength. Consider your own call, brothers and sisters. Not many of you were wise by human standards, not many were powerful, not many were of noble birth. But God chose what is foolish in the world to shame the wise. God chose what is weak in the world to shame the strong. God chose what is low and despised in the world, things that are not, to reduce to nothing things that are, so that no one might boast in the presence of God. He is the source of your life in Christ Jesus, who became for us wisdom from God, and righteousness and sanctification and redemption, in order that, as it is written, let the one who boasts boast in the Lord. The word of the Lord.
When Jesus saw the crowds, he went up the mountain, and after he sat down, his disciples came to him. Then he began to speak and taught them, saying, Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they will receive mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called children of God. Blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when people revile you and persecute you and utter all kinds of evil against you, falsely on my account. Rejoice and be glad, for your reward is great in heaven. For in the same way they persecuted the prophets who were before you. Beloved children of God, this is the good news, the gospel of our Lord.
Praise to you, O
Christ. Be seated. Peace and peace to you from God our Father and our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Last week, some of us from the congregation gathered for a retreat, and it was to discern what God is calling us to do as a congregation and in the community. And on both a communal and individual level, many of us wonder what God is asking of us. Certainly our lessons today can encourage us to be faithful. In the Beatitudes, we wrestle with the tension of hearing God's promise, yet at the same time hearing a call that could easily lead to legalism and works righteousness. Though with modern ears we may miss some of the deeper meanings behind the Beatitudes when not considering the world behind the texts. For example, when we hear, "Blessed are those who mourn," we hear that and think of those who are grieving, the loss of loved ones. But Ronald Allen reminds us that Matthew would have been thinking of the mourning of the faithful who recognize the present condition of the world and how it's far from God's purposes. They see idolatry, exploitation, and violence, and they mourn. In our first lesson from Micah, we hear, "What does the Lord require of us?" Reflecting on that passage may give us a way in which we can be faithful in this world in how we respond to a gracious God. Hear what the Lord says. "Rise, plead your case before the mountains, and let the hills hear our voice. Hear, you mountains, the controversy of the Lord, and you enduring foundations of the earth. For the Lord has a controversy with his people, and he will contend with Israel." Micah gives us the image of a courtroom. And we get the sense that God's relationship with Israel is an intimate one. Yet it seems as if Israel has forgotten their relationship with God. They don't seem to remember their story. And at the conclusion of our text from Micah, we hear what God requires of us to do. And that's to do justice and love kindness. Justice is part of who God is. It's part of God's nature. God's justice has both personal and communal implications, for it will challenge us. It will change us. And we grow when we're engaged in the justice work that God calls us to embody, both individually and collectively. Now, justice might seem like an abstract word at times, but Carol Dempsey outlines three types of justice. There's commutative justice, which focuses on the relationship between members of the community. There's distributive justice, which functions to ensure the equitable distribution of goods, benefits, and burdens of the community. And then there's social justice, which affects the social order necessary for distributive justice. And all of this can be a guide for us on what godly living in the world should look like. Now, we live in both an increasingly secular and yet also increasingly pluralistic society. We tend to feel that there's maybe one of two ways to engage such a reality, such diversity. One point of view sees other beliefs and other religions as completely false. And then we put God in a box, as if God will only play and exist in our sandbox. Then there's another point of view on the other end of the spectrum of society that says, well, all religions are then essentially the same. Neither one fully gets it. There's much more nuance and there's much more charity and, dare I say, loving kindness that we can bring to this reality with such diversity in our country and in our world. And I understand how affiliations with Christianity is shrinking in our country and that people are scared and they fear what this decline of Christians and increase of others brings. However, we should look to the Israelites as an example. They did not live as members of the religious majority in their society. And they too fell into those binary options at times. Sometimes they destroyed the idols of their neighbors. Sometimes they bought them. They were trying to figure out what God wants from them. And it led them to think at times, what's the right way to worship? What's the right sacrifice to make? That should sound familiar because those are questions that we often ask. What's the right way to do things? And that can lead to problems, right? Because when we think we got the right way figured out, what happens when other people aren't doing the right way? Our way, right? So that creates tension and problems. What we hear in Micah, what does God want? Justice. God wants us to care for the least among us and those who are on the margins of our society. And to walk humbly with God means that we don't walk around saying that we have all the answers and tell everyone that they're wrong. We share the good news. We share the promise of God that we know in Jesus Christ through love, sharing our story of faith, but not through condemnation and hate. Living in a pluralistic world means that sharing can and should be a two-way street in which we can listen and learn from one another. As Christians, we should not reject anything that is holy and true in other people, and that includes their beliefs. That doesn't mean that we have to or ought to accept everything they embody or believe, but we're not to reject anything that is holy and true. In fact, we should lift up and celebrate such things as a reflection of God at work. Now, going back to the Beatitudes, Matthew is conveying that life can be harsh, and we all know that far too well. But we're not to forget our story. We're not to forget God's promises. We are blessed, blessed, or another translation, happy. Why? Why would they be happy? Why should we be happy? Because we can be secure in God's promises to us, that we can faithfully weather the storms that this world and life may bring to each of us. We know how the story ends. We know that our future is Jesus Christ. I fear that there are too many Christians in our society that take the beatitude, "Blessed are you when people revile you and persecute you and utter all kinds of evil against you." They turn that on themselves as being a persecuted victim for not walking humbly with our God, for not doing justice, and for not loving kindness. Shouldn't surprise any of us, but walking around thinking that you have all the answers and that people are going, telling people they're going to hell and telling them what's wrong with them, it's not a really inviting way into the life and way of Jesus. Nor is it sharing the good news or love of Jesus. I don't know if anyone here would be surprised by telling people that they don't belong to God's church because of their life circumstances, telling them they don't belong because of their past transgressions, or just lines in the sand that we draw based on our own sinfulness in the moment that has caused people great harm. In the name of righteousness, in the name of trying to get God's will for us correctly, we can and have caused hurt and pain in the lives of others. And we wonder why people not only don't want anything to do with us, but some even revile us because of the Christians we get associated with, or even due to our own actions as well. But there are some Christians that revel in that kind of response. They see it as holy affirmation as they dwell in their own self-righteousness and misguided works righteousness. The trouble that Jesus seemed to have caused was by showing what it means to do justice. And even in the Beatitudes, he mentions the prophets. They too were showing the people over the years what it meant to do justice and love kindness. And who was worthy to receive it. And the trouble was that there were people that felt that they were not worthy to receive it. And that's the trouble and pushback the prophets and Jesus received. It was seen by those who forgot the story, consumed about getting it right, that ironically they missed God's desire for us. We do at times as well. In the book Mere Christianity, C.S. Lewis wrote, "Whenever we find that our religious life is making us feel that we are good, above all that we are better than someone else, I think we may be sure that we're being acted on. Not by God, but by the devil." Yes, we live in a dark and broken world, but you have heard me say that we are an Easter people, living in a Good Friday world. And it is through the cross and empty tomb that we could be assured of God's promises and these Beatitudes, that these promises will be for us a reality. Some see the world as harsh as it is, as just a status quo, that the world is just going to be this way. It's never going to change. But as Christians, we know that it will not be. We also know that it doesn't have to be. And we can rejoice and be glad. As Christians, our hope is in Christ, and we share that hope with the hopeless in the world. And following the way of Jesus and loving our Lord, we will also love our neighbor. And like Jesus, we will walk in solidarity with the hopeless. We will love and show mercy to those who long for it. Now, reflecting on our retreat, though we did not mention the Beatitudes or this passage from Micah explicitly, I believe we're moving in that direction. Much of our conversation revolved around how can we do justice, loving kindness, and walk humbly with God. Which really is a response to all those questions we're asking in our society today, that is often grounded in fear and anxiety. What do we do when people are filling their lives with other things and leave no room for church, or faith, God? They've forgotten their story. What do we do when our society is becoming increasingly secular? What do we do when our society is increasingly religiously pluralistic? What do we do when we see churches declining throughout our country? What we do is to remember the promises of our God, cling to the hope we have in Christ, and to do justice, love kindness, to walk humbly with God. Thanks be to God. Amen.
let us say what we believe in the words of the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, God's only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended to the dead. On the third day, he rose again. He ascended into heaven. He is seated at the right hand of the Father, and he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, Holy Catholic Church, communion of saints, forgiveness of sins, resurrection of life, life everlasting.
Called together to follow Jesus, we pray for the church, the world, and all in need. Cultivate humility in your church. In gatherings of every size, teach us to boast only in the cross. Shape your church to be people of kindness, generosity, and justice. Merciful God, we pray for Daniel, our bishop, Elizabeth, our presiding bishop, Adam, our pastor and conference dean, all pastors, deacons, and all who minister in Christ. Merciful God, the foundations of the earth bear witness to your faithfulness. The mountains and hills echo with your holiness. When we mistreat your creation, show us the error of our ways. Inspire us with reverent awe to honor all you have made. Merciful God, you make foolish the wisdom of the world. Raise up honorable leaders who seek justice, love mercy, and pursue peace. Frustrate plans that are corrupt, wicked, and self-seeking. Prosper the work of peacemakers. Merciful God, bless all whom the world rejects. Accompany those who are regarded as foolish, weak, low, and despised. Reveal your power and presence at work where it is least expected. Give your life, strength, and wisdom to all in need. We pray for those who are ill, especially Justin, Tracy, Mike, Scott and Connie, Donna, Maddie, Scott, Paul, Marjorie, Pat, Dixon, Pat, Debbie, Candace, Regina, Barb, Audrey, Jerry, Phyllis, Dave, Ella, Cheryl, Rick, Lucas, John, Cindy, Carol, and our homebound. Merciful God, as with your people Israel, remind this congregation of your saving acts. Remind us how your faithfulness brought us through difficulties and sustained us despite our weaknesses. Establish the cross as the center of our life together. Merciful God, praise to you for your blessed saints in every time and place. Trusting you accompanied them in poverty, persecution, and in every trial. We trust you abide with your people always. Merciful God,
we bring to you our needs and hopes, O God, trusting your wisdom and power revealed in Christ crucified. Amen. The peace of Christ be with you always.
And also with you.
You may be seated and continue with the offer.
Let us pray. Holy God, gracious and merciful, you bring forth food from the earth and nourish your whole creation. Turn our hearts toward those who hunger in any way, that all may know your care, and prepare us now to feast on the bread of life, Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord.
Amen. The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. It is indeed right, our duty and our joy, that we should at all times and in all places give thanks and praise to you, Almighty and merciful God, through our Savior Jesus Christ, who on this day overcame death and the grave, and by his glorious resurrection opened to us the way of everlasting life. And so with all the choirs of angels, of the church on earth, and the hosts of heaven, we praise your name and join their unending hymn. Holy, mighty, and merciful Lord, heaven and earth are full of your glory. In great love you sent to us Jesus, your Son, who reached out to heal the sick and suffering, who preached good news to the poor, and who on the cross opened his arms to all. In the night in which he was betrayed, our Lord Jesus took bread, gave thanks, broke it, and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take and eat. This is my body, given for you. Do this for the remembrance of me." Again, after supper, he took the cup, gave thanks, and gave it for all to drink, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood, shed for you and for all people for the forgiveness of sin. Do this for the remembrance of me." Remembering, therefore, his death, resurrection, and ascension, we await his coming in glory. Pour out upon us the spirit of your love, O Lord, and unite the wills who share this heavenly food, the body and blood of Jesus Christ, our Lord, to whom with you and the Holy Spirit be all honor and glory, now and forever.
Amen.
Lord, remember us in your kingdom and teach us to pray.
Deliver us from evil. Thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory.
Amen. Come to the banquet, for all is now ready. You may be seated. This time I'd like to invite forward our communion assistants and anyone participating in the Children's Church. Distribution of the sacrament will be continuous. I'll be in the center with the consecrated hosts. There'll be two stations for consecrated wine. If you desire grape juice, that'll be on the pulpit side. An usher will have a tray of glass cups. Just take a glass cup as you come forward, as they release you forward. These are the gifts of God for the people of God. Christ is present here, and he offers himself to you.
Thank you.
Please rise. The body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ strengthen you, keep you in his grace. As Christ sends us out into the world, let us recite the mission God has given us. Almighty God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, bless you now and forever. Amen.